Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 86 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 144 of WrestleTopia continues. Happy Thursday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW continues. And last night was AEW Dynamite going down live from the Chartway Arena in Norfolk, Virginia, and I thought this was a really strong wrestling show up and down the card. Great matches, and we get more of alternate universe MJF being a babyface. And I'm trying not to buy in, but he's so convincing. And we got a very heat heavy finish to last night's show, which surprised me, but I feel like this is one big old ruse. My spidey senses are tingling as to what's going to happen in Full Gear in a month's time on pay-per-view. MJF versus Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. I expect shenanigans and controversy galore, and I do expect a new champion when it's all said and done. But before we get to the future, let's focus on the present, shall we, as we kick things off with Claudio Castagnoli and Willa Yuta versus the Ring of Honor World Champion Chris Jericho alongside Ring of Honor Pure Champion Willa Yuta in a tag team match. This was a lot of fun, and Claudio was the highlight of this match by delivering various European uppercuts to Garcia and Jericho respectively. Willa Yuta and Daniel Garcia have great chemistry. They beat the hell out of each other with chops and strikes. At one point, Claudio and Willa Yuta deliver those stereo hammer and elbow elbows to Jericho and Garcia respectively until Jake Hager hops on the ring apron to cause trouble alongside Matt Menard and Angelo Parker as Jericho delivers a springboard drop kick to Claudio on the outside. As we go to commercial break, we come back and Garcia is working over Claudio until he breaks free and lands a pop-up European uppercut on Jericho before making the high attack to Willa Yuta, who cleans house with a top rope splash on Jericho followed by an angle slam for two. Jericho fights back with a code breaker to Claudio, who goes for a springboard but gets caught by said code breaker in midair by the Ocho. Yuta is going to wipe out Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, and Dan Garcia with a crossbody on the outside as Jericho tries to use Floyd, the baseball bat. It gets caught by Claudio, who delivers a big swing to Jericho. Wow. Garcia's on his shoulders in the fireman's carrier position, and he rotates them around about a good five or six times, and the fans pop at this feat of strength by Claudio Castagnoli. Eventually, Jake Hager tries to get involved once again, but Claudio wipes him out with a flipping seton on the outside. He delivers an uppercut to Matt Menard and a foot stomp to Angelo Parker as well before delivering a pop-up European uppercut to Jericho to pin the Ring of Honor World Champion. A surprise finish, but it's a way to get Claudio back in line for a shot at the Ring of Honor Championship, which he lost to Jericho last month for Grand Slam Dynamite Live on Arthur Ashe Stadium. And after the match is over, we get some tension between Bryan Danielson and Willa Yuta, because Yuta's a little upset about Danielson sticking up for Garcia last week during their sit-down interview with Renee Paquette, because Danielson still sees value in Garcia being a part of the Blackpool Combat Club someday. Yuta feels he's a traitor after what he did to Danielson last week, costing him a shot at the Ring of Honor Championship. And he tells Danielson, guess what? I won my match tonight alongside Claudio. We got the job done. What about you? And they get into a little bit of an argument. William Regal breaks things up alongside Claudio. They said, we won tonight. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Got a Mox in a championship match against Penta. We got Danielson versus Sammy Guevara. We're going to keep this in-house. We're going to talk it out, work it out, because we're a family. Families fight, but ultimately we get back together and work stuff out. Tensions seem to simmer down a bit, but I get the feeling that one of these days it's going to come down to Yuta versus Danielson in a battle of the ego, and to see whether or not Garcia fits in this family in the not too distant future, because I think that's in game. As Garcia kind of got on Jericho last night for saying, dude, we had the match won and to introduce a baseball bat to the match, what's up with that? And Jericho did not take too kindly to his sports entertainment credentials being challenged, and I can sense Garcia gunning for the Ring of Honor Championship when it's all said and done to beat Jericho at his own game once and for all. Next up was Swerve in Our Glory, Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus FTR's Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood in a number one contenders match for a shot at the Acclaimed's AEW World Tag Team Championship, presumably at Full Gear next month. And I thought this was a great match. This was a match built on big moments and near falls. Keith Lee doing a double leapfrog over FTR and doing a crossbody splash on top of them was pretty damn amazing. Swerve and Dax worked great together as well, as Swerve slipped on the ropes at one point, recovered nicely, and landed a crossbody on Dax for a near fall. Dax goes for a Liger Bomb that Swerve turns to her Karana, but Dax holds up Swerve nonetheless and lands a Liger Bomb on Swerve for a very close near fall. Cash Wheeler also took his licks as well as Swerve in Our Glory lands a pop-up electric chair power bomb on Wheeler for a very close near fall as well. The craziest part of this match was Dax Harwood and Keith Lee fighting on the top rope, because it's very rare for Dax to do a powerplex to Keith Lee from the top rope. Somehow, some way, he got the big man up, lands a powerplex, and Wheeler delivers a splash to the back of Keith Lee that pops his crowd, and he still kicks out because he did not land directly on top of Lee from the frontal position. If he did so, could have won the match. At one point, they hit the big rig on Keith Lee, but Swerve pulls Dax from the cover at the last possible moment. We get distractions from the Gun Club's Austin and Colton Gunn at ringside, and they torment Harwood and Wheeler. They get Wheeler away from his tag team partner, which allows Swerve to deliver a low blow to Dax Harwood behind the referee's back after Keith Lee inadvertently knocks Swerve off the ring apron at one point. That sets up Ground Zero, courtesy of Lee to Harwood, as they will get a third shot at the AEW World Tag Team titles against the Acclaimed, presumably at Full Gear next month in New York, New Jersey. From there, we get some shenanigans from the Gun Club going after FTR until the Acclaimed make the save, because they're the best. I adore them. And they scissored chairs last night, which was very unique. All in all, a really fun match. Probably the most heated match from last night's show in terms of pops, near falls, and great action from both teams. But it's a choice to continue to ice FTR and have them have a side feud with Austin and Colton Gunn. It doesn't do much for me as a fan. And I go back to something that happened earlier this summer when the Young Bucks were still AEW World Tag Team Champions. They had a segment with the Acclaimed and Swerve in Our Glory, but the fans chanted for FTR. They thought that was where the money was. FTR versus Young Bucks, part three, all the belts in the line, and a crazy ladder match, possibly at All Out. That match never came to fruition, and thankfully it didn't in some ways, because we got Swerve in Our Glory and the Acclaimed on these great tag team runs. But I do think in the moment of organic crowd reaction, AEW potentially missed a moment to pull the trigger on Bucks versus FTR 3. They missed a moment. And I think FTR still do a shot for these titles, but now you're running up against a hot team in the Acclaimed who got super over it All Out, and their popularity has only increased from there. That's why I keep saying it's so important to capitalize on momentum. FTR had it earlier this summer. They're still popular. They're still due a shot someday, but the moments they're the most over or fleeting when you don't cash in when the iron is hot. And that is my main issue. When AEW should hear the crowd reactions, run with it, and just go full steam ahead. It worked for the Acclaimed, but for FTR, it feels like they're in the sitting pattern despite having three belts to their name, repping AAA, New Japan, and Ring of Honor, respectively. Next up is Renee Paquette interviewing MJF, who's over in Virginia, and MJF makes it a point to shout out Virginia repeatedly, and he calls out the poors of Virginia like only he can, and he does a spot on John Moxley impersonation from the walk to the facial expression, saying, "I'm going to drink MJF's blood. I'm going to gargle his piss. I'm going to be champion, beat him down with an inch of his life. I got this." I love the John Moxley impersonation by MJF as Renee tried to maintain a straight face through it all. He even told her to shut her mouth at one point, which kind of popped the crowd as well. But MJF is a babyface, a quasi babyface at the most right now, calling out Virginia repeatedly, saying that I have molded a giant chip and I have put it on my shoulder to represent all the people that said I couldn't make it, all the people that say I can't do it the right way. Now, I might have jumped the gun, y'all, and said I would do it fair and square, that I would earn it. I'm not going to use my Dynamite Diamond Ring. It doesn't mean I'm not going to cheat to win, but I'm going to do it as honorably as possible. That is my promise. And I'd be walking out of Full Gear, new AEW World Champion in my backyard outside of the New York City limits of Long Island, because I'm a generational talent. Before he does his catchphrase, Stokely Hathaway comes out to lend his services to MJF. And MJF says, "Listen, I told you 2 weeks ago, don't push me. You're on strike two already, defying what I told you not to do after my match with Liyuta. Now, if you touch Moxley, if you go near him, if you stare at him, I am going to fire you, because I want him at 110%. No excuses when I beat him. Do I make myself clear?" Stokely nods, looking like Mr. Rogers with the sweater. No lie. He walks away and MJF says, I'm Maxwell Jacob Freeman. I'm better than you and you know it, as it's Virginia. Finish his catchphrase. This was sing along with MJF. And he's leaning into this baby face mode of, hey, I am an asshole. I'm the devil. But for some reason, you kind of sort of like and respect me. And I love it. But I am on guard because I don't believe this. I want to in my heart. But we've been through this song and dance before. He would tug at your heartstrings. He'll cut a searing promo. He'll make you cry. And then he'll turn on you the next week. This is a long game angle I got my eyes out for because I don't trust Maxwell. He's compelling to watch. If I'm running AEW, I would run with this babyface push because it's very hard to boo him right now. If he's able to pull this off, like 98 Rocket Survivor Series against Mick Foley, when the fix was in, he became new WWF champion and he flipped on the people and he was over as a heel for a time. Then he flipped in mid-99 and he's never looked back since, outside of the awesome 03 Hollywood Rock run that even had the fans loving him despite him being the biggest asshole in the company. So there is a way to get this done. I've seen him do it many times, but the fans really like him. And I don't know what he can do to generate maximum heel heat. They just might love him for it. We'll see how it goes. He's going to have to cut his next greatest promo ever after his last greatest promo ever to explain all of this. And last night got a little bit trickier in terms of executing that via the finish of last night's show, which I'll get to shortly. Next up is Bryan Danielson versus Sammy Guevara. This was a really good match. Guevara is so talented as a high flyer. Goes for a double jump cutter immediately and flips out of a German suplex as well, and goes for a few leapfrogs, but he gets too cocky for his own good as he's trapped in a Romero special by Danielson a short time later. The action spills on the outside as Guevara gets an assist from Ty Mello, who blocks Danielson's path on a knee strike on the outside. Guevara responds with a jumping knee strike followed by a beautiful springboard moonsault to Danielson on the outside as we go to a picture-picture commercial break. We come back and Guevara is in control throughout the entire commercial break. Then Guevara makes a fader error of let me do yes kicks to the American Dragon, who excels at kicking people in the chest and kicking their fucking heads in when need be. So he reddens the chest of Danielson. Danielson just takes the shots, basically says, hey Guevara, you kick like a bitch. He gets him in the corner and delivers rapid fire yes kicks that pops the crowd, followed by a moonsault and a charging clothesline to Guevara as well before laying him out with a tope at ringside. From there, Guevara counters a knee strike into a standing Spanish fly on Danielson for two, goes up top for a shooting star press, only for Danielson to counter with a label lock attempt on Guevara. Guevara grabs the ropes to break the hold. Danielson still fights back by putting Sammy on the top rope, going for an avalanche belly back suplex, but Sammy flips out of that and delivers a top rope Spanish fly to Danielson a short time later. Goes for the GTH go to hell knee strike. Danielson counters that with a reverse Porzorana, lands a Busaku knee. He kicks Sammy's head in, locks in a triangular choke, and he is going to put Guevara to sleep to win this match in dominant fashion. A really nice bounce back win for Danielson, but I get the feeling it's not going to be enough to really ease the tension between himself and Willa Yuta, as he still has a lot of respect and empathy for Daniel Garcia to be a part of the crew one day, and Yuta is having none of that, even though Danielson scored the win last night for the Blackpool Combat Club. Next up is Jamie Hayter versus Riho, and this was a really good match, but unfortunately the crowd was kind of towards it. It's a 920 spot. It is a death spot for the women's division because it's a pattern that has been broken recently, but it's a pattern nonetheless. And Jamie Hayter is well liked by the fans these days. The fans love Riho too. That might have led to a very split, muted reaction, but the action between Riho and Jamie Hayter was really strong as Riho delivers a crossbody to Jamie Hayter, wipes her out after a slight distraction from Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Jamie gets right back on offense by slamming Riho into the barricade and delivering a twisting suplex for good measure. As we go to a picture-in-picture commercial break, we come back and Riho fights back with a nice cartwheel into a dropkick followed by a cazadora into a double foot stomp. Rebel takes a forearm strike from Riho, but Hayter is going to block a tiger faint kick a short time later, only for Riho to fight back with a Northern Lights suplex for two. Dr. Britt Baker once again tries to trip up Riho mid-move, but Riho responds by reversing a sunset flip into a code red on Jamie Hayter for two, but she eats that nasty bat breaker from Hayter for a near fall. She avoids a few ripcord knee strikes from Hayter, lands a beautiful snapdragon suplex on Hayter for a very close near fall, but unfortunately she said ripcord knee from Hayter, followed by the lariat for the victory. And this is a big win for Hayter, gets her in line possibly for a shot at Toni Storm's AEW women's tag team title. And Toni appears on the main stage, realizing that they could meet for a match for said championship in the very near future, and that could be quite the battle, with Jamie Hayter getting her long awaited coronation, with Britt Baker steaming from afar if all things go according to plan Full Gear in about a month's time. And now it is time for our main event, featuring the AEW World Champion Jon Moxley versus the challenger Penta El Zero Miedo, with Alex Apahontas at ringside. And this was a very fun matchup, with both guys going for chops and forearm strikes until both men spin out of the other's finisher at one point. Penta is going to do the Zero Miedo, and Jon Moxley flips him the bird to say, well, you can fuck off with all of that. But in doing so, Penta delivers a nice flip dive to Moxley on the outside. As we go to commercial break, we come back and Penta is slamming Moxley's head into the steps repeatedly while breaking the count along the way. Penta takes off his glove to chop Moxley against the post, but Moxley moves out of the way and Penta smacks the steel to allow Moxley to take over this match. This lasts a very short period of time as Penta drops Mox, the backstabber, in the ring for a near fall. Penta's laying in shots and strikes to Moxley. He goes for a fear factor, which is blocked by Mox, who goes for a cutter out of desperation for a near fall. From there, both men fight on the side of the apron, and Penta nearly hits a destroyer on the steps, but Mox lands a DDT on the steps instead, followed by the King Kong Laird in the ring for another close near fall. Eventually, Penta lands fear factor on Mox for a very, very close near fall that pops the crowd, goes for a springboard, but Mox catches him with the paradigm shift, followed by the Death Rider to retain the AEW World Championship. A very fun matchup. Penta's great. Mox is amazing as champion. And I look at the clock. It's 9:54 p.m. Eastern. Angle alert. Something's happening. It should be noted that earlier in the show, we got a video of the Elite disappearing from AEW history, a clear sign they're coming back very soon. Some folks might assume, oh, this is the night the Elite returns. It is not. Maybe at Full Gear next month, but we'll see. But in any event, this is still a heat-seeking angle as the firm wipes out Jon Moxley against the orders of MJF. Allegedly, we got W. Morrissey big booting Moxley. Lee Moriarty takes out Mox with a top rope move, and the beatdown continues until MJF comes out to feign making the save for his enemy heading into Full Gear for the AEW World Championship. He goes backstage. We go on to the backstage area, and we see that the Blackpool Combat Club's door has been chained shut. Nobody can get in. Nobody can get out. It's a rough go for Mox, but MJF comes back out. He wants to fight. He wants to keep Mox at 100%. At least heading into Full Gear, he might be at 90% or maybe 80% at this rate. And then he fires Stokely for defying his orders not to touch this guy ahead of his match at the pay-per-view. And the firm swarms MJF. They beat him down. Ethan Page lands the Eagle's Edge on MJF, and the fans are booing at this. They're devastated that their hero, MJF, is getting beat down. And then he gets chokeslammed by W. Morrissey through the timekeeper's area. And there's more heat on the firm and more sympathy on MJF. Of all people, the devil gets sympathy heading into his championship match against Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. And now they got beef with the firm. Dare I say, they could be teaming up soon against members of the firm. Now, I would love to see MJF versus Ethan Page. That would be sick. But I just get the sneaky suspicion this is all a giant ass swerve to build sympathy, to build people caring about MJF, only for the devil to flip on them at the end of the day. It's a very fitting story, but the question is, in front of a very smart and savvy pay-per-view crowd, will they bite? Will they care about what's going to go down? I think back to WrestleMania 17, Stone Cold sell his soul to win the WWF Championship from The Rock with an assist from Vince McMahon. In a perfect world, you flip on the devil that caused you pain and torment for 4 or 5 years. That did not happen. Stone Cold aligned with his greatest enemy. MJF doesn't have a great enemy right now. That person's out the company, presumably speaking. So his next closest beef would be with William Regal, perhaps. And they have an understanding with each other because he couldn't put the trigger on Regal last week. Maybe he'll use brass knucks to win the championship. He already admitted he's not going to win this championship fair and square. He's going to do most of the work clean, but he's not above taking a shortcut. and the fans committed him for that. So I don't know what the hell he can possibly do to get all of his heat back. It's going to be a wondrous trick for him to pull off because he's done a lot of stuff over the last year. He's done the sympathy promo, the tears, the angst, the sadness, the revenge, the blood, the anger, the hatred. He can do anything in terms of getting that reaction for a pop or the ultimate boo. And we'll see how it goes at Full Gear. It's very elaborate, it's thought out, and you're making the people like you. Do I buy in? A part of me does, but I am not stupid. I know the long game is this guy ripping this rug from under everybody, saying, well, you got your 1 month babyface experiment with me. You can all kick rocks. See you in 5 years. I'm just curious to see how it all is going to work out at Full Gear. How are we going to get from point A to point B to be from beloved to jeered to reviled again? He can do it. I've seen him cut career-changing promo after career-changing promo many times over the last couple of years, many times this year alone. So he's got his work cut out for him. We'll see what he does to make this victory at Full Gear as controversial and blood boiling as possible, because it's a tough go when everybody kind of rocks with them, with the MJF chant and the parroting your catchphrase, and they want to like you, and you're shouting out the hometown repeatedly, and you're sucking up. You're being an asshole, but you're being kind of endearing as well. We'll see how the devil gets his due in a few weeks' time at Full Gear. The most compelling storyline in wrestling outside of the Bloodline with Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, Solo, Jimmy, and Paul Heyman, of course, heading into Crown Jewel against Logan Paul next Saturday on Peacock. So those two storylines right there are running head-to-head as being the two things that's got my attention in the professional wrestling industry. And on that note, this wraps up a very fun Dynamite. Great night of wrestling action. All the matches clicked for me. My favorite would probably be FTR versus Swerve in Our Glory. The near falls were just incredible. And they had the fans going, had me going as well. The outcome makes sense as Swerve still leans into his heel tendencies against the Acclaimed, and they've got to cut some fire promos and rap battles between Caster and Swerve to really add some personal beef to their feud heading into their third match for the AEW World Tag Team titles, presumably at Full Gear next month. All in all, a nice night of wrestling with MJF being the unlikeliest of heroes going down on his sword for the greater good. For now, we'll see how it goes in the next few weeks on AEW television, ultimately at Full Gear as well. And on that note, this wraps up episode number 86 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I hope you enjoyed it as always. You can follow me on social media at Lady Wrestling Ox on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestleTopia. There you can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows, the drop on this in my daily recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on FS1 this week, and AEW Rampage on TNT going down live on Friday as well. You know what to do. Search WrestleTopia and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. I'll be back Saturday morning with episode number 56 of the SmackDown Wind Down / AEW Rampage Late Night Rager. Until then, enjoy your Thursday and your Friday. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.